and share the screen. Now, this discourse was said in 1987. It was. Let's get that straight. Yeah, 1987, and which, like this year, was a Hakel year, a year of Hakel, which follows the Shmita year, and that gets mentioned in the discourse. I'm not sure if we'll actually reach that point. And it begins with this verse about Laban. Now, the whole Sedra of the week, Vayetze, is about Jacob coming to Laban's house. And there he eventually marries both daughters, Rachel and Leah, although Laban is a trickster. And although Jacob said he'll work 7 years for Rachel, the girl he was given was Leah. And that's why there is a custom, a Hasidic custom and elsewhere, that in a marriage, the groom goes to the bride and lifts up her veil. He sees her without her veil to make sure it's the right girl, not to get tricked, as in the case of Laban or Lavan tricking Jacob. And then Jacob works hard trying to look after his wives and children, and he has many children born there in that lay in Laban's home. And then there comes the point where he wants to make have some kind of payment for his work, and so Laban says, "All right, you take," or they agree that they will, that Jacob will take all the speckled sheep. And then Laban keeps changing the terms. The rabbis tell us, it's not so obvious in the text, but the rabbis tell us Laban keeps changing the terms. And it mentions different kinds of speckled sheep, which is also mentioned in the discourse, and maybe we'll get to that as well. And then Jacob decides it's time to leave, and he's worried and he's frightened that Laban won't let him leave. So he and his whole family, they leave, going back towards the land of Canaan, the land of Canaan. And Laban comes chasing after him, and there's a threatening moment, but then there's a sort of a peaceful resolution. And it says over here, Vayashkem Lavan Baboka. Lavan, or Laban, Lavan got up early in the morning, Vayanashek Levanav Vilivnotav, and he kissed his sons and his daughters, Vayavarechet him, and he blessed them, Vayelech, and he went, Vayashav Lavan Limkomo, and Lavan went back to his place, Vayakov Halach Ledako, and Jacob went on his way. And then it mentions Vayivku Vom Malachi Elukim, that angels of God encountered him. So that is that's the verse on which the discourse turns. Hi Chesed, nice to see you. Thank you for coming. So now I'm going to try to find the melody of the discourse. And there's Sarah. Thank you for coming, Sarah. Let's find the melody. Thank you. Right. Okay, I hope everyone was able to hear that. Yes, Sarah, thank you. Okay, Vayashkim Lavan Baboker. Lavan got up early in the morning, so this is a discourse from 5748, which is 1987. Lavan got up early in the morning, Vayanashek Lavanav Lifnotav, and he kissed his sons and his daughters, meaning his daughters and their children. Vayelech vayashav Lavan limkomo, and then Lavan Laban went back to his place. For Yaakov halach ledako, and Jacob went on his way. Right. We're now going to step right out of the simple way of understanding this into a very beautiful spiritual dimension. And it explains in the book called Torah of Light, the Chassidish Pasha, or Torah Light, which is the Chassidic presentation of the Seder of the week, of the Torah Chaim, and Torah Or is by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, and Torah Chaim is by his son, Rabbi Dov Ber, whose birthday and yard sites are approaching. Today is the 5th of Kislev, and the 9th of Kislev is his birthday and yard site, and the 10th of Kislev is a special festival associated with him. So this relates to Rabbi Dov Ber, the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe. So it explains there, Sof Parshatenu, where it's commenting on the end of the Seder. Al pi ha-maima ha-yadua, following a very important statement, Shahatorah medaberet ba-elyonim v'romezet b'tachtonim. The Torah is really speaking about supernal spiritual dimensions. It hints at the lower world. So in other words, the story, so to speak, in quotation marks, the story that we read in the Torah is only a hint. But what it's really talking about is something supernal, something in spiritual realms. And so now we're going to understand this phrase, these few words about Laban, Lavan. The word Lavan incidentally means white. When it says, the Marsha Katuv, that when it says, Vayashkem Lavan Baboker, Lavan got up early in the morning. Ka'e al Bechinat Haloven Ha'elyon Shalemaila. This is really talking about the upper whiteness of a supernal spiritual realm. Adla atzmuto mahuto yitbarech, till we come, it goes higher and higher. You know that the Kabbalists have different worlds. There are four worlds, and there's higher and higher and higher. So here we're going to the very highest level. Adla atzmuto mahuto yitbarech, to the very essence and nature of the divine, beyond our understanding at all. And that is Lavan, that is the Loven Ha'elyon, the upper whiteness, an upper whiteness which is beyond existence completely, on the highest and level of the inwardness of the divine. So we're going to understand in a minute, hopefully, what it means that Vayashkem Lavan Baboker, Lavan got up early in the morning. What is that talking about? If Lavan is talking about this essence of the divine. So first of all, it explains, what does it mean he kissed his sons and his daughters? That's talking about a remarkable flow which comes from this exalted level, Liphinat Banim Uvanot, coming down through the chain of existence into and through the chain of existence, as it's explained by the Kabbalists. Liphinat Banim Uvanot, to the sons and the daughters, Shabaseda Ishtal Shalut, who are in this realm of the downchaining of worlds. Banim, when it says sons, Hem Zcharim Umashkiim, those are male who give flow. Uvanot and daughters, Hem Nekevot, they are female, Dahainu Mekablim, and in that sense they receive. Now, every human being has both male and female qualities in this respect. A person can be a teacher, and also a person is a student. So insofar that one is a teacher, this is called male, and as far as one is a student, that is called female. And that applies to both genders, that both men and women exhibit both these qualities. So, but the concept within the downchaining of worlds is that there are different levels, and there's a flow from one level to the other, which is then received by the other level, the lower level usually, which then becomes a transmitter to the level below it. So when it says sons and daughters, it means the intricate levels going down in the order of what is called hishtalshalut. This word, hishtalshalut, now, this is a kind of a Kabbalistic word, but it can sometimes be used in educated Hebrew as well. Hishtalshalut hadvarim, you know, and the evolution of a concept, so to speak. And shalshelet means a chain. So that's related, you see, shalshelet. And this is like an abstract noun that is formed from a verb which relates to the other noun, shalshelet, a chain. So it's chaining downwards, this down-chaining of worlds. Shekol seder shtalshelut, because the entire system of the down-chaining of worlds, as described by the Kabbalists, nechlak l'shtei anyanim, is divided into these two aspects, the mashpia u'makabel, the one who gives the flow and the one who receives the flow. Now, what we're talking about, both these, the mashvia, the one giving the flow, the one receiving it, all the way down through the down chaining of worlds, they receive a tremendous burst from this upper whiteness. And that burst comes, now, what did it say at the beginning? Vayanashek levanav, he kissed his sons and his daughters. So this burst from this upper level of the divine comes in a way of a kiss. And what is a kiss in these terms, in this Kabbalistic dimension? Shenishika mora, a kiss indicates al hitmaschut, giving oneself over completely. Übergegebenkeit, he uses the Yiddish word, or the transcriber used the Yiddish word that the Rebbe said, the Übergegebenkeit, the complete dedication, the devotion, betachlit, and in a complete way, the kiss expresses a bond and a concern and a connection and love. And this being given over to the other is expressed by a kiss. And that kiss is here a kiss which comes from the highest level of the downchaining of worlds, with this kiss of infinite divine radiance, which is called the upper whiteness. And so that is something very special. And it's vahashba'a miyuchedet. It's a unique form of flow coming from the essence of the divine all the way down to us. Now, what does it mean that Lavan got up early in the morning? The inyan zeh, and how does that relate to us? The inyan zeh nase baboke shel kol yom. This happens in the morning of every single day. Shebechol yom baboke, that every single morning, Nimshach b'chinat lovena elyon, there flows down this upper whiteness. Netinat koach, it's an empowerment to us. Miuchedet, a remarkable empowerment. Me'atzmuto u'mahuto yitbarech, from God's divine essence and nature. V'yanashek levanav u'levnotav, a kiss, a divine kiss, that comes to each one of us. It comes down through the down chaining of the worlds and it reaches us. ומכיוון שכל המשכה, and since every flow, תלויה בעבודת האדם, depends on the service of the person, as a certain verse says, למעשה ידיך תכסוף, you should learn, for you should yearn for the work of your own hands. Now this is a verse in the book of Job, but it's a theme which is central to Chabad Hasidic thinking, particularly the Rebbe's Hasidic thought, that everything depends on us, and a person shouldn't just receive, even from the highest levels. We have to make an effort. We have to strive. And it's our striving. That's what it means. L'ma'aseh yadecha tichsof, yearn for the work of your hands. A person could have tremendous wealth, but it means nothing to him. In fact, he's depressed because he didn't work for it. And another person works for a living and he doesn't have very much money, but he just about scrapes by and he's very happy because he works for what he gets and he's very happy to do that. So that's a basic concept in Chabad thought. לכן צריכה להיות גם עבודת האדם בדוגמת המשכה זו. Therefore, since we have to do something to get this flow of whiteness from this exalted level, we have to do some kind of matching service. And we do it. It's a wonderful thing. וזהו שבכל יום בבוקר, and that is the idea that every single morning, הוזמן עבודת התפילה, it's the time of the service of prayer. כמו שכתוב, as it says about Abraham, וישכם אברהם בבוקר, Abraham got up early in the morning, ויחבוש את חמורו. This is when he was going to the Akedah. He was going with Isaac, and they were going to this idea that he's going to offer Isaac as an offering to God, and in the end, an angel told him to offer a ram instead. So he's getting up early in the morning, and that's also described as the time that Abraham established the morning prayer. The morning prayer is associated with Abraham. And so he got up early in the morning, vayachavosh et chamoro, and he saddled his donkey. Now, saddling a donkey, binyan chavishat hachamor, the idea of putting a saddle on the donkey, רומז לעבודת התפילה. That is hinting at the service of prayer. שעניינה, because what the service of prayer is, in a profound way, מלחמה עם חומר הגוף. It is a battle with the materiality of the body. The body is the donkey. And what Abraham is doing is putting a saddle on the donkey, and that means subduing the donkey, so it's going to accept a rider. And we struggle with our own body. First of all, to get out of bed, you could say, and then prepare ourselves for prayer and say, I'm going to pray rather than doing all the other many things which might attract our attention. And we focus on prayer and then we move from that practical situation of prayer into a deeper and deeper spiritual dimension of prayer. Now, incidentally, this sedra begins off with a concept relating closely to prayer, because the beginning of the sedra is the dream of the ladder, in which Jacob dreams of the ladder, and the Zohar tells us that ladder is a symbol for prayer. And the angels going up the ladder are like the words of the prayer reaching upwards to God, and the angels coming down are like the divine blessing. So that's at the beginning of the Sedra, and this where we are now is at the end of the Sedra, also this idea about prayer. Because it is through the service of prayer, nimshach b'chinat oloven ha'elyon, there is drawn down for each one of us, potentially, this exalted whiteness which comes from the essence of the divine. So let me stop sharing and let's just try to explore this and see whether we can relate to these ideas. Now, a person might say, surely prayer is just a matter of saying the words in the prayer book. And obviously, it is more than that. At the first step, it's saying the words in the prayer book. And if we go earlier than the first step, the very first step is there's reading the words in English is one step. Learning how to read Hebrew is another step. Learning how to understand the Hebrew is another step so that we understand the words that we're saying. And then come further dimensions where the person puts his or her heart into the words. And the words of the prayer that they're saying is a real expression of connection, of bond with God. Now, praying can sometimes be understood as asking God for various things, and there are some parts of the prayer which do express themselves in that way. But the key concept of prayer in Hasidic thought is the bonding of the individual with the divine. And we bond with the divine, and then through us, so to speak, comes this pouring of blessing. And the pouring of blessing is like in the Amidah, in the silent prayer, which has 18 or 19 blessings, and many of the blessings are about material things or semi-material things. And we ask God to bless the year and to heal the sick and to forgive us for errors. And in this way, this is how we express this supreme bond with God that we achieve during the daily prayer. And so what it's saying here, what this discourse is saying, is that every morning when we make this effort to pray, there is a burst of radiance from the beyond, from the essence of the divine, from absolutely beyond the world and that, or the worlds, and that flow comes to us and it becomes part of us and it inspires us at that moment in prayer. And that is going to be our special gift for the day ahead. Okay, would anyone like to comment on what we've been saying so far?
Rabbi Tally, good evening. Jeffrey.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Wondered, is this down chaining, is it helped along by any, I don't know why I'm asking this, it sounds a bit, would the Melochim be included in this, or is it just from the Eibishter?
The main downchaining of worlds does not specifically involve the malachim, the angels.
Thank you.
It's a flow from God, and that is the flow which creates the universe and keeps the universe going. But then sometimes the sages do speak of this in terms of angels, you know. So it could be that it includes angels as well.
What to direct and to?
Well, you know. We get told about the bits of the process that we need to know in order for us to do our part.
Right, I understand.
We don't have to worry about how the angels do that.
Oh, Shukoyah. Thanks, Rebbe.
Any other points from anyone? Deborah, would you like to say something?
Yes, hello. Thank you for that. It's a bit of a simple question, maybe it's a bit obvious, but the bit when you said we look forward to the work of our hands, with our hands, I was just thinking, I don't work with my hands, I work with my brain.
Well, it means
doesn't mean literally hands.
No, not literally hands. No, it means our own work rather than just getting something for free. Which elsewhere is called bread of shame, but we are working, we are gaining our living through our own effort. So the effort might be with our hands, might be with our brain, might be a musician who plays music, whatever the effort is, but it's one's own effort. Okay, any other points? Okay, so let's go back to the text. Now, so that has described very briefly the beautiful experience that any person can have during prayer in the morning. Incidentally, this is a universal concept that every human being, according to Jewish teaching, according to the Rebbe, should have a time during the day, preferably in the morning, where they relate to God, they come close to God. The Rebbe spoke about having a moment of silence in schools. In America, the public schools are not allowed to have prayer services because of the separation of church and state. So the Rebbe suggested, well, if not have a prayer service, at least have a moment of silence. And when I was at the gathering of shluchim, of emissaries, a week or so ago, there was very beautiful presentations about work at getting schools to have, involving thousands and thousands of children in several different states. That the schools make it mandatory, or the district, the school district officers make it mandatory that the school should have a moment of silence and the children discuss with their parents what they should think about in the moment of silence. And it's a very wholesome concept. So there's this concept of prayer. There's this concept of prayer, and here what the discourse is telling us, that there is this tremendous burst of a contact with the divine, which is compared to a kiss, a divine kiss coming down through the downchaining of the world and reaching us wherever we are. We might be in a synagogue, we might be in our living room, we might be in the garden, we might be in a forest, and we're praying to God, and that's a very beautiful thing. But then life goes on. We're not praying the whole day long. And that's how it continues. Umamshech. And then it continues. Vayelech vayashav Lavan limekomo. Lavan went back to his place. He returned to where he'd come from. Vayakov halach ledako. And Jacob went on his way. So it explains in these Hasidic teachings that were mentioned before. The Achakach Mistaleket Ha'arzu. After the prayer, this bright illumination disappears. The Prinat Loveno Elion, this brightness of this upper realm. Vezel Vayashav Lavan Nimkomo, that's what it means. Lavan returned to its place. She'aharazu Nichlelet Ba'atzmuto, this gleam of radiance goes back and is reabsorbed in the essence of the divine. That's up at a higher level. And down here, the Yaakov halach v'dako, Jacob goes on his way. The b'chinat Yaakov halach v'nimshach, the Yaakov, the Jacob, which means every single Jewish man and woman, goes on and is involved b'torah u'v'mitzvah, is involved in studying Torah, in keeping mitzvah, in working, in doing all the things that have to be done during the week. The Torah ikhe derech, because when it says Torah, it's sometimes Torah is called the way. That's what it means. Jacob went on his way. Jacob went on the way of Torah, but it's every kind, every aspect that fits into what one has to do in a day. That is there as well. Behind you, that means the la'achas siluk ha'arazu, after this brightness has disappeared. As Huzman Abodanamata, then it's the time of service below. So in other words, it's all very well to have this beautiful spiritual experience during prayer, but then we have to go on in the regular workaday world. The Yeshlo Sifbazem on Kanad, the Lohak Shala Acha Gilui Masiluke Acha, but not only when this radiance has ceased, Oz huzman avodah lamata, then it's the time of service below. Ela yaseda mizu, but even more than this. Shedavka la'achas elokei adam. It is specifically when that radiance has disappeared that then it's the time of the service, and even more, only then can be the service. In other words, we need the radiance to disappear, in a sense, so that we are able to carry out the normal day-to-day work and the normal day-to-day observance of Judaism in terms of mitzvah and studying Torah. The Rebbe suggests an explanation of this. Dinei b'shvil avodat ha'adam, for the sake of the service of the person, ma'aseinu v'avodatenu, our own effort, tzricha liyot metziyut shel adam u'metziyut ha'olam. In order for us to serve God in a proper way, there has to be a person who exists and a world that exists. U'kumo b'limud ha'torah, like, for example, when studying Torah, especially the oral Torah, which has to be something we understand clearly, that the intellect, even of the animal soul, is able to intellect it, is able to understand it in an intellectual way, even though it understands it first from the mind, from the intellect of the divine soul, it then moves to the intellect of the animal soul. And that makes a tremendous unity. That fact of us being in the world and learning God's Torah, that makes a tremendous unity, a very remarkable unity. And so should be. That's how there has to be the service in terms of purifying and elevating the physicality of the world. So we have to sift out the materiality of the world, which we do. For example, let's say someone is cooking a meal. So is it going to be a meat meal or a milk meal? It can't be meat and milk mixed. And so we sift out, we choose the ingredients which are going to go into the meal that's going to make a kosher meal. And choosing what is correct according to the Torah and rejecting what is not correct at that moment, that is called the sifting process. And then higher up, there is an even more exalted level. Aliyat ha-gashmiyot. There's zikuch gashmiyot, there's purifying the material, the physicality of the world. And even higher is the elevation of the materiality of the world. The world becomes something spiritual, because of the way we are dealing with the world, that the world becomes something holy around us. Like, for example, if a person lives in a home, so the home, the doors have got mezuzot on the doors, and there are hopefully Jewish books on the shelves, and there's a charity box that makes this home into a sacred realm. And the kitchen is a kosher kitchen, and other things that happen in the home with modesty and with a way of expressing the divine. So that makes this home, this is an ordinary physical home, but now it's been transformed into a sacred realm. And that's really our path, our task. V'chasher, and when this upper whiteness radiates in this world in such an intense way, as mentioned, that at the beginning of the day, it radiates in such a way that the person is bonding with God with a kind of divine kiss. At that point, Eifsha, line 7, Eifsha Shatia Avodata Adam B'Shleimuta, then you can't have, it's not possible to have service in the proper way, because it's too intense. One is steeped in the divine radiance. Shahari Man, when you're before the king, you can't do anything else. And here, and when there's this bright radiance, it's as if we're before the king. So therefore, during the time of prayer, we're totally focused on God. And then the time of prayer ends, and this bright radiance fades, and then we are able to do the things which need to be done, which includes practical effort and also study of Torah and keeping of mitzvah. But chen k'tiv, and that's why it's written, Vayerech v'yashav Lavan l'mkomo, Laban went back to his place, v'Yaakov halach l'dako, and Jacob went on his way. Dafka, specifically, when love and this upper radiance goes back to its place, is hidden again, then the Jewish people, each individual, are able to do their service of God in a complete way. So that's why Lavan went back, because the whole purpose is the effort of the individual in this world. So let's just stop here and just see if we understand it, because now we've got two stages. We've got the stage of prayer, which is very inspired and is with a divine kiss. And then we have the stage after the prayer with everything that that entails, where we're in the world and we're doing things in the world and we're learning Torah and we're doing mitzvot, but we're in a practical, physical realm. So are there any, and that really is our task, to elevate that practical, physical realm, and it gave three stages. The level where we choose out what is good and leave behind what is bad. The level where there is a kind of purification of the world in itself. And the level where there's not only a purification, there's an elevation, and the world, the physical world around one, is elevated to a higher spiritual level. So that is our real task, to be in the world and to elevate it to a higher spiritual level. And for that, we get the input earlier on in the morning in the daily prayers, that there is this input that comes to us like a divine kiss, which then enables us to do the work that we have to do later on in the day. Okay, are there any comments on that? Paige, is all that straightforward?
Hello again, it's me again. Sorry, Paige, go on.
It's like I couldn't find the unmute button fast enough.
Go on.
Thank you. It was just a comment, Tani, maybe around, before, for example, we were to do a mitzvah. Is that why you're kind of meant to have those at the kavana and to think around, like, the intention to do it? Is that maybe the reason why? Then you're kind into it.
I didn't catch what you said. Can you say it again, Paige?
Yeah, I was thinking, is it maybe linked to when before we are to do a mitzvah, thinking around the doing of it beforehand to kind of recognize with the intentions of the kavana of doing it. So maybe it's linked to this.
That's a very good point. And the you see, we have the kavana, the intention to do the mitzvah, and that becomes part of the mitzvah. That's like an illumination of the mitzvah. So that when we do the mitzvah, which is in, could be in some practical area of life, but then we have we think about it and we have the right intention, the right kavanah, that sort of elevates it. And so in that process that it's talking about here of choosing the right thing and purifying it and elevating it, so I think the kavanah is part of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Deborah, you had another point.
It was similar, really, but more that's just blown my mind. I've got to say, that's amazing what you've just said. I think if I understand what you're saying, is that our job is not to try and connect to the divine all the time, but to take the divine kiss in the morning and then get on with being human beings.
Absolutely.
Which is an amazing relief to hear.
Well, it's sort of
always lovely if that makes sense.
It's a very Jewish statement, you know, that we are supposed to be in the world and making the world into a holy place. It's not a matter of running away from the world into, you know, climbing up a mountain and going beyond the world. It's to be here in the world and make the world into something positive and special.
But surely that kiss at the beginning of the day is the beginning of a deeper sense of the presence of the Almighty that's going to remain with us all day.
Well, it's that's true. That's true, Eleanor. But if we are so absorbed with the Almighty that we're not able to do anything else, you see, take the moment when a person says the Shema. They put their hand over their eyes and they say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And in terms of the Kavanah, the ideas they have in their mind, at that moment, this could be a most ecstatic and wonderful moment of surrender to the divine. But if a person remains in this position the whole time,
you won't be able to drive to work, will you?
That's right. There's a whole lot of other things that have to be done.
Yes. But though, when we focus on Torah, that is staying with us every moment of every day, isn't it? That our love language to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, from what we eat to washing up and separating dishes to shopping, greeting people, knowing what to say, going to work, being a good employee, balancing the books and paying our debts, caring for our children and our families.
Absolutely.
We're going, I don't know, it's like walking through. I always picture it as one of those water displays where many fountains of water come up from the paving stones, and it's as though we're walking through them, and one is overflowing into the next, and we're moving amongst them. And we're never losing that kiss.
Right. All right. That's a very beautiful way of thinking of it. And definitely the fact that the person began off with that kiss, as the discourse puts it, you know, makes the rest of the day very different. But at the same time, there are things to be achieved in the day.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back now. Now, so it explained above, so this is on page Zion of the discourse, line 18. Excuse my cold that I have, but as far as I know, it's not catching through Zoom. We explained above that the Torah speaks about spiritual things and it hints at things in the physical world. And so therefore we can understand that this relates also to earlier parts of the Sedra, where we have the life of Jacob in the house of Laban, his uncle Laban. Now, he was working with sheep. Jacob was working with sheep. And as I mentioned, there was this whole question of Jacob earning some of the sheep should be his. And so the Laban said, well, you should take the spotted sheep. And in the Sedra, there are three terms used for the spotted sheep. Akudim, Nakudim, Uvrudim. So exactly what these are in terms of being spotted, I think Rashi says akudim means they have like white bands around their ankles. That's the kind of marking they have. Nukudim could be that they have little dots, and vrudim could be that there are large patches. Excuse me, sorry. Sorry. So these are three types of spotted sheep. Now, that is the way the sheep were in this world. And this idea, the way it is in the upper worlds, is talking about three different levels in the revelation of the divine. and the Kabbalists speak about three different levels of world beyond our world. So there's Akudim, which means in Kabbalistic terms that all the radiance is in one vessel. And so that's the sort of the highest level. And after that, there's Nekudim. And Nekudim indicates the world of chaos, where there are 10 Sfirot, but they are only like dots, and they don't connect with each other. And that's why the breaking of the vessels took place in that realm. If you've heard about the breaking of the vessels, which Rabbi Isaac Luria explained. Yeah. And after that, there's Brudim, the third world, and that is the world of Atzilut. So look at that in this way, the world of Atzilut, which is the highest of the Kabbalistic four worlds, is the lowest when we look at it in terms of these three dimensions. And so that's how it happens in the world of the realm of the downchaining of worlds. Now, just as it was with in the case of the story of Lavan, that they Lavan said, you should take the speckled animals, but then he gave Jacob animals which had no speckles whatsoever. And so Jacob had to try and do something to change the situation. And also the Torah mentions that Laban kept changing the agreement. And also Jacob took speckled sticks and he put the speckled sticks in the trough for the sheep to eat for when they were drinking. And somehow or other, the sheep that were born were speckled, right? Remember the speckled sticks? Putting the speckled sticks in the drinking trough, and it seems that the sheep, this had an effect on them, so that the sheep that were born were speckled sheep. Now, in other words, Jacob is changing the world in some way. There's the world of the sheep that he's dealing with, and he's changing that world. Now, in the same way, we are changing our world. So the fact that we keep mitzvot in this world, we learn Torah, and the Torah tells us about certain mitzvot. Let's say the mitzvah of a mezuzah. And so we have a home with the help of God. And then we notice that there's a doorway that should have a mezuzah. And we manage to acquire a mezuzah and we put it on the door. We're actually changing something. The same way that Jacob was changing these sheep by putting these speckled sticks in the trough. Incidentally, the Kabbalists say that when he was doing that with the speckled sticks, it was Kabbalistically the same thing as the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, the mitzvah of tefillin are worn on a man's arm, and the strap goes round. And when you look at the black strap against the white, usually white, not necessarily, could be a black man putting on tefillin, a Jewish man. But the black strap against the white looks like the speckled stick, where he took a stick and he removed some of the bark to make it look speckled. So the Kabbalists say this is the relationship between the tefillin and the sticks. So when we do a mitzvah, whatever that mitzvah is, we are changing something in existence. So the same way that Jacob is here changing in the hint, as it were, in the story, which is this lower level of expression of these divine transformations, he is changing something in the world, and he's making the sheep bear, give birth to a little baby sheep which are speckled. So in the same way, by the fact we put a mezuzah on the door, or we're careful about kosher food, or we study Torah from a Jewish book, we are transforming the world around us. And now we have this next paragraph, that there is this way in which Lavan kept changing the agreement. There's a trickery going on. This, the Jacob's uncle, kept the same way he tricked him, giving him the sister, Leah, instead of Rachel. He tried to trick him in all kinds of ways concerning what he was supposed to be earning for himself and other aspects of his life of labor. Now we, through our service here below, we elevate the darkness and the bitterness of this world, changing darkness to light and bitterness to sweetness. And we do that through the service of repentance, tshuva. And it explains in various texts that when Mashiach comes, he will even be able to help the tzaddikim, the totally righteous, to have that feeling of repentance. Imagine a person who's lived a large part of their life in a very negative way, and suddenly, as it's described in the Talmud, and as we can see among people today, he's lived part of his life in a very negative way, and suddenly he or she recognizes this is the wrong way to live. I'm going to change. And they change their whole life. And that's the power of repentance. So what does a tzaddik do? What about someone who doesn't live his life in a wrong way? He lives all the time in a perfect way. He lives in a beautiful way, or she does. So it says that when Mashiach comes, the tzaddik will also be able to achieve repentance. Because what happens with a Baal Tshuva, what is a repentant person? They transform the darkness of the world. And this transformation of the darkness of the world, now at the beginning of the Sedra, Jacob gives a little speech to God, and he speaks about, I will come back in peace to the house of my father. He's asking for a divine blessing, that he should be able to do that. And the word b'shalom, in peace, there's the letter Beit, twice shalom, two kinds of peace. And that relates to a verse, shalom, shalom, lalachok, peace to the one who's far and peace to the one who is near. And what does it mean, the one who's near? Lerachok shenaseh karov, the one who's far away, but he became close. And in fact, the peace that comes to the distant one is first. Because that is a wonderful thing, because of the power of repentance. Now, here comes a very striking passage. I'm not sure if I can do justice to it in this sort of little summary translation. But then comes this infinite bright radiance down, and it merges with the world. And there's a tremendous sense of unity of the essence of the divine with the world around us. And it's so intense, this unity, it is beyond the concept of unity. It's unity means that you've got two different things and they become one. But here it's as if everything is one. Nothing is separate. There's no possibility of separation. The physical being of existence merges with the essential oneness of the divine. And this is, it's beyond being remarkable. There's a beautiful prophecy which talks about it, not a prophecy, there's a beautiful passage in the Book of Kings where Elijah goes to Mount Sinai and there's a kind of a vision. And there is thunder, and it says, not in the thunder was God, but God was in the small, still voice. And it's that small, still voice that is the revelation of this infinite dimension of the divine here within the world. And this, and seeing that really, ki ein od ve'ein od no vado, there's nothing apart from God. And so this can be achieved throughout the world, and especially for the Jewish people, that the unity of the physical world with the ultimate reality of God is in a way of total unity. And that's the simplicity of the essence, which is also there in the simplicity of every single individual. And this unity takes place in a total way. And it's beyond the word echad, which means one. And it's even beyond the word yachid, which means the only one. It's a unity on a level beyond that. And this is like the unification that takes place in the mitzvah of Hakel. Now, I mentioned that the year, this year, 5783, which is 2022 to 2023, the Jewish year is a Hakel year, a year of gathering together. And this discourse was said 1987, the year 1987-1988, that Jewish year, was also a Hakel year. And he says that the unification that is there through the mitzvah of Hakel, of gathering the whole Jewish people together in the temple on the second day of Sukkot, and everyone, men, women, and children, came together to hear the king read out from the Torah, they are there unified in a way of awe of the divine, and it's a most beautiful unity that they are all completely one. And all this comes down into our physical lives. And that's how it will be also in the future, that there will be the soul will be fed by the body. That means the body, which now we sometimes see as a struggle. The body has a desire this way, the body has a desire that way. And we often have to struggle with the body. We say to the body, no, you can't eat it, it's not kosher, you can't look at that, it's immodest, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. And so there's a struggle with the body. But in the future, the body, the physical dimension, will reveal its essential sacred nature. Now, that's a very profound concept, which is a great theme in the teachings of the Rebbe and of Chabad Hasidism, that the physical ultimately has a deeply sacred nature, and that's what will be revealed in the future. And that will be something which will take place, not somewhere in the sky, but as Deborah put it, and it ends up on this note, V'ha'ikah, the main thing is, it'll be down here in our world. And he's, the phrase he uses is lower than 10 handbreadths. Like 10 handbreadths is a certain height. And this means lower than 10 handbreadths, right down here in the world. In the full and true redemption. With all the different explanations that one can have about what the redemption is, they will be there. And that's the unity that we're looking towards.